The Mark Stein Club live Q&A starts in just 2 minutes, right here.
A remote, fantastical kingdom far from Europe's chancelleries of power. An ancient castle where secrets are walled up. An unpopular monarch on the eve of his coronation. A ruling class of plotters and would-be usurpers. And a gentleman adventurer on holiday. No, not Ruritania in the 19th century, but the United Kingdom in the 21st. Stein's new book, The Prisoner of Windsor, is a contemporary inversion of Anthony Hope's classic, The Prisoner of Zender. In the original, an English gentleman on vacation is called upon to stand in for his lookalike, the King of Ruritania, at his coronation. Over a century later, a Ruritanian on vacation in London is called upon to return the favour and stand in for an Englishman in an absurd, fantastical kingdom where Brexit never quite happened. Plots are afoot. The Prisoner of Windsor by Mark Stein. Available in hardback and digital editions, or for a personally autographed copy, go to steinonline.com.
The Stein Online Clubland Q&A begins right now.
Welcome along, April 16th, 2025. It is 2 p.m. in Chicago. Well, last night, Joe Biden returned to the speaking circuit. It was a triumph, at least in the sense that when he came out on stage, he managed to face toward the audience. 3 p.m. in Ottawa, where the organizers of the Canadian trucker convoy are reported to be facing 2 years in jail. 4 p.m. in the beautiful Canadian Maritimes, 4:30 p.m. in fabulous Newfoundland and beyond the Americas, 8 p.m. in London, where Tommy Robinson has been denied his appeal in the High Court. Are you beginning to sense a bit of a pattern here? 9 p.m. in Berlin, where the incoming government coalition has agreed to extend its so-called firewall against the so-called far right to the European Parliament, too. 10 p.m. in Kiev and Moscow, 10:30 p.m. in Tehran, for all you Newfoundlanders who moved to Iran out of solidarity with the half-hour time zone, midnight 45 in Kathmandu, for all you Iranians who moved to Nepal to check out the quarter-hour time zone. 3 a.m. in Singapore and Honkers, 6 a.m. in Sydney and Melbourne, 8 a.m. in Auckland, and an even more convivial hour for the kippers and kedgeri in His Majesty's dominions across the Pacific. 100 years ago today, April 16th, 1925, the St. Nedelya Cathedral in Sofia, Bulgaria, was hosting the funeral for General Konstantin Georgievin, who had been killed in a terrorist attack 2 days earlier. About half an hour into the service, the Bulgarian Communist Party blew up the roof of the church, killing 213 people seated below and wounding another 500. The dead included much of the country's political and military elite, among them the chief of police, the commander of the Bulgarian army, the mayor of Sofia, and multiple generals. They'd all showed up for the funeral. The Tsar, Boris III, was not present because he was attending the funerals of those killed in the recent assassination attempt on him. 100 years ago today, in Bulgaria, well, I went on a pleasant and very cheap skiing trip many decades ago. The 2025 Mark Stein cruise ended in Southampton on Sunday, after which I went to Heathrow for a short flight to see my French doctors, who were keen to verify that I was still alive. So today's show comes from the south of France, after which I shall somewhat cautiously make my way back across the Atlantic. If you weren't able to attend the 2025 cruise, our next Mark Stein cruise will be a North American voyage from Quebec City via the Saguenay Fjord, where it's wall-to-wall whales, plashing whales a-go-go. And then into the Gulf of St. Lawrence. I think we're stopping at Sept Îles, is that right? I have many happy memories of the town of Sept Îles from when my kids were moppets. And then we'll be proceeding down the eastern seaboard to Manhattan, aboard Cunard's fabulous Queen Mary II. It was great to see so many old chums shipboard. Not from around the world, not just Britain, America, but we had cruisers from Panama and Malaysia and all kinds of other places. And I thought some of the shows were pretty credible too, thanks to Lola, Emma, Lucas, Rick, Melissa and the team. But if you want board and disagree, have at it in the comments section. Lots of news today. The UK Supreme Court has managed to define a woman as a human being of the female sex. That's in contrast to the US Supreme Court, where rock-ribbed originalist Neil Gorsuch effortlessly transitioned to the other team in the equivalent decision by the American judges. Letitia James, Attorney General of the state of New York, is in a whole heap of trouble after making all those tosspot tweets about no one being above the law and powerful people shouldn't cheat to get better loans. It turns out that this powerful person herself cheated to get a better loan. Among other things, she claimed that her father was her husband. She also signed a piece, and that's interesting in itself because married couples get better rates on mortgages. She also signed a piece of paper committing herself to becoming a primary resident of Virginia within 60 days. She has not done so. It would be difficult to do that because if you hold the position of New York Attorney General, you're obligated to live in the state of New York. So we'll see whether for once the Republicans will succeed in getting a big shot Democrat scalp. That idiotic district court judge who thinks he runs U.S. foreign policy intends to find Trump officials in contempt of court for not responding to his order to turn the deportation flights round in midair and return all the rapists and murderers and drug lords to the United States. Okay, that's enough of that. Let us get to the most important part of the show, which is your questions. Alison Castellina writes, the UK Supreme Court pronounced today that, quote, defining a woman is beyond the competency of the Scottish government. Yeah. I think women predate the existence of the Scottish government, not to be reductive about it. Alison continues, that surely means that it is also well beyond the competency of a certain former director of public prosecutions, that would be Two-Tier Starmer, and a whole host of famous people and loveys, including the wee Scottish lass, formerly First Minister of Tartan, who took it upon themselves to apparently do so and make the lives of some women sheer hell for months and years, including the life of J.R. Rowling. I think it's J.K. Rowling, Alison. J.R.'s from Dallas. He, mind you, on the evidence of Dallas, he certainly knew what a woman was. Do you think, continues Alison, they should apologize in public or face the music in some way? What about the authorities who have been attempting to sack nurses who knew the law better than they did? Well, simply because the Supreme Court, so-called, I don't recognise this court. It's a Blairite invention that's brought a lot of ridiculous... it's basically accelerated the descent of free societies into lands of legalisms rather than lands of law. So I'm not in favour of this Blairite Supreme Court. And I also think just because a court issues a ruling is no reason why one should revise one's own beliefs. For example, I was put on trial for calling Michael E. Mann a fraud. And the judge and jury decided that I was in the wrong and he was not a fraud. Well, whoop-de-doo. I'm not going, just because a DC jury has, where there's 97% of them voted for Joe Biden, there's no reason for me to say, oh, I'm so sorry, I got it wrong. There's no reason for that at all. Where people have acted on their beliefs, you know, in a free society, if you think a woman can have a penis, you're free to say a woman can have a penis. Go on, tweet about it 24/7. Oh, I can't stand those old-fashioned women who don't have the penises. I can't believe they're still around. I like a woman who's hung like a stallion. If you want to say that, go ahead and say that. Where you cross over into difficult territory, if you're like Britain's crapped out crappy National Health Service and you can't wait to fire people who disagree with you on that, well, you're in the wrong, and that should have some impact. But I'll be interested to see whether it does have that kind of impact, because the problem with this madness is that every institution, every person who matters in Britain and in America, it's a phenomenon of the Anglosphere, really, isn't actually quite the same as you move to the continent, and certainly not as you move across what used to be the Iron Curtain. But in Britain, as in America, everyone who matters is on board with the whole tranification thing. Now, Britain demonstrated today that it's marginally less insane on this issue than Neil Gorsuch and the wanker judges of the Supreme Court. But I'll be interested to see how much impact that actually has in practical reality. Toby Pilling asks, will the English High Court soon be ruling on whether 2 plus 2 equals 4? Well, 2 plus 2 is free to identify as equaling 5, Toby. There's a reason that's in, if you've heard my serialization in Tales for Our Time of George Orwell's 1984, that 2 plus 2 equals 5 figures in that book. It's because that the whole purpose of control, whether you're talking about the Soviet Union or the United States of America or the United Kingdom, is to make you deny reality. They don't care if you know it's a lie. They want to force you to live with the lie. That's true in the Soviet Union with all its five-year plans, and it's also true in the United States. The United States, Neil Gorsuch, in surrendering to the tranification of America, the left, even as the Democrats, they've got the lowest approval rating ever, and Trump's approval rating is the highest point it's been since the inauguration. People like Trump, and they don't like district court judges deciding that they're the executive branch. But one of the things that worked for him was that line, that ad the Trump campaign made, I'm for you, she's for they, them. They're not going to give up on this because it's part of their... If they can abolish biological sex so that all the girls want to be boys and all the boys want to be girls. That makes them susceptible to control. And it's all about control with these guys. Elisa Angel says, thank goodness the UK Supreme Court ruled that a woman is defined by her biological sex at birth. Imagine if they'd ruled the opposite. You don't have to imagine it. You don't have to imagine it, Elisa, because Neil Gorsuch went there. That's the equivalent case in the United, for whatever it's called, Title IX. Yes, Title IX applies now to women with penises. The difference, and as I said, I've got no time for this crappy Blairite court. But the difference is that Neil Gorsuch, the rock-ribbed originalist appointed by Trump, accelerated the tranification of America and accelerated the march of the be-penist woman. The UK Supreme Court, somewhat to my surprise and to its credit, decided that if you've got a penis, you can't be a woman. You can't be a woman. Because you got a penis. We're in a crazy world where people think these, you know, the genitals assigned at birth are just entirely random and they have nothing to do with whether you're a man or a woman. Neil Gorsuch went down that road. He said, I love these be-penist women. I can't get enough of be-penist women. If you're a be-penist woman, you're entitled to the full protections of Title IX. And the UK Supreme Court, with the sort of equivalent piece of legislation, the Equalities Act, said, no, the Equalities Act is about the other group of people born without a penis. I mean, one takes one's victories where one can, but these really are victories that would not have been necessary in any time in history before, and one doesn't want to exaggerate their importance in that sense. Mark Stein's Clubland Q&A, great to be back on dry. Well, not actually, I've kind of missed the, I'm always wiped out after the cruise, and it takes me a bit of time to recover. So it's kind of late in the evening here on the continent, but I hope to be back in North America very soon. Scott Scherzer writes, dear Mark, while the jet lag has yet to wear off, the missus and I had a truly wonderful time on last week's cruise. It's always good to meet up with fellow club members to commiserate regarding societal decline. The panels, oh, don't say the word panels. That's one of those words. I don't like the word panel. If it came to a choice, I think I'd prefer the word be-penist, which I don't believe anyone said until me. The panels were terrific, and it was good to see you in relatively good health. Yeah, I got applause just for being able to stand. People now react to me like they do to a Joe Biden performance. I came out on stage and I stood and people were impressed. I should really have just left it there with the ovation for standing and shouldn't have attempted to do any shows. Scott says, we look forward to doing it all again. Back here in the States, the federal judiciary is doing its best to create a constitutional crisis. I know. Don't wave that constitution at me. Sometime over the past 250 years or so, they've decided that adjudicating the law isn't quite enough to satisfy their egos and have taken it upon themselves to legislate from the bench. They continue to put stops to various of Trump's executive orders and are telling him how he ought to be running the executive branch. The Democrats have been shouting about the threat Trump poses to our democracy, yet they seem comfortable with letting those in the only unelected branch of government call the shots. I think it's high time to impeach a judge or two and put the judiciary back in its place. Either that or the Donald should just start ignoring their edicts and dare them to stop him. What say you? Well, we've seen this judge, whatever he's called, Boasberg or whatever his name is. Bozoberg, is that it? I don't want to leave out a syllable there. Judge Bozoberg. Or is it Bozo Man? Well, whatever he is, he's now about to find the government of the United States in contempt of court for not... And I apologize to our non-American listeners if this sounds completely insane, because having put these guys on a plane and flown them out of the country, Trump was now supposed to fly them all back into the country. For the most part, they've been flown to countries of which they're citizens and of which the executive branch in these countries doesn't want to fly their citizens back to America to go to basically because they're citizens and this asshole judge has no jurisdiction over them. He can't just decide, a citizen of El Salvador or Venezuela has to be removed from El Salvador and Venezuela and flown back into the United States. This is stupid. And this is leaving America out of it, by the way. Leaving the executive branch, as it's laughably known, they still have an executive branch in El Salvador and Venezuela, but not in the United States. The idea that these guys, the idea that some Arsholian judge can order the governments of foreign countries to put these people on planes and fly them back into America is completely preposterous. But he's doing it, this guy. So now there's going to be contempt of court rulings against various Trump officials. Then he will make an effort to get them in prison. I don't know. He could issue a capias. And some constable could see Marco Rubio or Stephen Miller perambulating along the sidewalk and seize them and toss them into jail. That's where this is a complete... We have a standoff here. And that's why John Roberts, whose whole thing, I mentioned before that Shannon Bream on a Fox show explained his thinking, such as it is to me a couple of years ago. He doesn't like the court being dragged into controversy, by which he means or even controversy. Which one's the Canadian and which one's the American? Well, I don't know. Anyway, he doesn't want the court being dragged into controversy. And that basically means he wants to steer clear of politics. Well, you have here now multiple district court judges obstructing the government of the United States. So you can spend 2 years getting all excited about who's 2 points up in Iowa, but it doesn't matter because a rinky-dink district court judge who's no points up in Iowa, because he doesn't need any points, because he can be polling at 0.00001% in Iowa, and he still gets to call the shots. This guy has supplanted the executive branch. I'm sick of the... I'm not interested in a land in which there is no equality before the law. I understand that these temporary restraining orders, these TROs, that more have been leveled in the first 2 months of the Trump administration than in the preceding 24 years of this century. I'm not interested in playing. That's preposterous. And you, John Roberts, you're supposed to be the head judge. I understand the constitutional thing that, John Roberts is not the boss of all the judges. He's just the boss of the 8 other judges on the Supreme Court. I understand that. But there is a crisis between the judiciary, which, as Scott says, is the only branch with no accountability to the public. And I think the longer it goes on, the more damaging it is. The more it's obvious that I mean, this is a very energetic executive. And Trump has understood that he can't waste any time. He can't waste any time trying to get on the right side of, you know, the people he wasted his time with in 2017. But this is stupid. This is stupid, Roberts. You've now got a situation where the rinky-dink district court judge, Bozo Man, or whatever he's called, is proposing to find members of the Trump administration in contempt of court. That's a crime. You're supposed to go to jail for it. So you've got judges who are accelerating this crisis, and you've got Chief Justice Roberts, who, for all any of us know, is actually on the beach in the Bahamas. He might as well be. It's pathetic. Billy Cardiff writes, "Dear Mark, in 2017, Rush facepalmed when Trump told him that he was surprised by the ferocity of the opposition against him. Trump apparently believed that everyone would get along with him after the election and that no one in his administration would try to undermine him. As far as you can tell, has Trump corrected that mindset with respect to the court orders and the tariff drama? If it turns out that this Doge stuff is ground to a halt because no lawyers were consulted, then Trump learned nothing important from the first term. The tariff drama will look terrible if it wasn't thought through and if Liberation Day gets postponed any time a billionaire says so. And why can't the omnibus whatever bill making its way through Congress include a provision that prevents shutdowns by automatically funding the government at the previous year's actual receipts? I'm starting to feel despair about the countdown to the Stacey Abrams AOC administration in 2029. Please help." You don't have to worry about that. It'll be Letitia James will be a shoo-in for president after all this lawfare against her. So don't worry about the Stacey Abrams administration. The last question is the easiest to answer. That would be a sensible provision to put in the omnibus whatever bill, but you couldn't get any Democrat and put a number on it, half the Republicans to vote for that. So that's not Trump's fault. The other stuff, I understand why a guy from outside politics who happens to win the presidency, which hasn't happened, I mean, it wasn't true of Eisenhower. He was dealing, even when he was a general, he was dealing with political masters all the time. That had never happened. What happened in 2016, November, had never happened before. Now, Trump at that time was, at the time he came down the escalator, was a celebrity blowhard, and he wasn't a particularly ideological figure, and the issues he ran on are not ideological. It's only the insane wing of the Democrat Party that is in favor of total open borders and having your daughters raped by MS-13 members and then having being branded by them with various tattoos and things. That's not appealing even on the Democrat side. As you know, the reason that all the National Review crowd went "Never Trump" is because Trump had never been ideologically committed to policies such as the end of Roe versus Wade. And in fact, the guy who was comp-sounded and didn't care one way or another about it until he ran for president, then delivered that victory. So he thought that as a non-ideological figure with friends, many, he went to Bill and Hillary Clinton's wedding and all this. This is the stuff all the people used to complain about him for. He thought he having friends, so-called, on both sides of the aisle, he'd be given a fair shake. Not Bill and Hillary's wedding. Chelsea's wedding? He thought he'd be given a fair shake, but he wasn't because It's all corruption. So what he discovered, and this is before you even get into Paul Ryan screwing him over and Mitch McConnell screwing him over, because he didn't he was naive and he didn't realize that Washington, D.C. is corrupt on a scale that is almost unimaginable. Everybody's on the take there to one degree or another. As we saw with USAID, where most the surprising aspect of it, because people go on, oh, did you hear where funding a transgender opera in Tajikistan? Yeah, well, that's $15,000. There are people in the Beltway who are on the take for millions and millions of dollars, billions, $2 billion in the case of Stacey Abrams. That's the revelation of that. And most of this money for foreign aid never leaves America. So the transgender opera got 15 grand and Stacey Abrams got $2 billion. It's a sewer. He's up against everybody there. And if you notice, the big difference between here and 2017 is that he's found the big question in 2017 was, can you replicate Trump? And he couldn't in 2017, so he filled the administration with mainstream Republican figures like John Bolton, who all screwed him over. Now he's got outsiders. He's got that's the thing. Oh, we can't have these people. They've got no Washington experience. Well, that's good. That's the place to start. Oh, but Pete Hegseth is just some weekend TV anchor. What does he know about the Department of Defense? Well, good, because America hasn't won a war in living memory. So maybe it's time to try something different. Oh, well, RFK Jr., he's just some paranoid conspiracy theory. Oh, wait a minute, no. Fauci needed a pardon because he lied to the American people from day one of the COVID. And Anthony Fauci, in fact, is the co-creator of the COVID. Anthony Fauci, probably, if he went to the right judge, like Judge Bozo Man, could copyright the COVID and get even richer every time it infects someone. Elon Musk, oh, he's not a mainstream politician either. This is great. Because the whole stink, I can't stand the political class. As you know, I it's a condition of my admission to the United States that I not foment the overthrow of the United States government. But I don't really see why, if Judge Bozo Man, or whatever he's called, is able to, in effect, supplant the United States government, why other people shouldn't be allowed to foment the overthrow of it. It would seem to me perfectly reasonable in that sense. I don't know whether this is going to work, but at least he's trying. At least he's got very little time. You know, in 2 years' time, it'll be the midterms. And at that point, his dwindling majority in the House of Representatives, just because of the usual swing of the pendulum in these things, is likely to be gone. Maybe it won't be, maybe it will. But I wouldn't bank on that. So he's got 2 years, and realistically, you know, next year, these awful jelly-spined uniparty Republicans are going to be looking to their election prospects, and the idea of them doing something like what Scott Schertzer suggested with respect to the debt ceiling, as low as it is now, it'll be even lower in a year's time. So if Chief Justice John Roberts lets this judicial supplanting of the executive branch continue until Christmas, that's it. That's it. two things will happen. Either America will have blown its last chance or will be in the middle of civil war. As I use my old line, I used to worry that there'd be a civil war. Now I worry that there won't be one. Because I'm not really... Whether you look at it, America is different from Canada, Britain, Europe, whatever. But the teaching the people that however you vote, you won't be able to change anything. It would not have been a good thing to do at any point in most of these countries' histories. And we're now up against the last chance here. Now up against the last chance. Steve from Manhattan writes, Mark, the opportunity to take three Stein cruises has been a source of great joy for me. Immeasurable, really. I'm deeply in your debt, and I thank you and every member of your extraordinary, beautiful team. It is absurd to hear people of all types talk about candidates for the 2028 presidential election, but I am in America, so when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Do you think we may be at the early days of the Letitia James for president movement? She is 58. Is she? I sort of got the impression, I don't want to be ungallant or anything, but I sort of thought she was a bit older than that. Anyway, she is 58 and apparently was born in Brooklyn. The Constitution waves her through. Will the USA be willing to go for two native New Yorkers in a row? I don't think Trump made the lawfare work for him because it was so obviously political. For example, the look no further than the Letitia James case. As the governor of New York assured other corporations, oh, no, we're not going to do this to anybody else. This is just for Trump. So they got Trump on making false statements with regard to a loan. And this woman is so self-aware that she never gave a thought to the fact that she's guilty of it. Unlike Trump, she's actually guilty of getting on a mortgage application as well, which is something nobody can figure out what it is. Nobody, if you meet someone at a cocktail party and he's a big lefty and he goes, oh, well, Trump was found guilty of that crime he committed in New York, Letitia James brought it. Oh, yeah, what exactly did he do wrong? Can you explain that to me in terms anybody can understand? No, you can't. But millions and millions and millions of people have had to go to the bank and apply for a loan, and they know all about those things. Like if you meet certain conditions, are you resident in the state? Because if you're a Virginia bank, you'll give a better rate to someone who lives in Virginia than you would to someone who lives in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. That's all very basic. Everybody gets that. So she's just another Democrat crook. She's just like all these people, like $2 billion for Stacey. This is nickel and dime stuff. But she still pretended to be married to her father. Unless, of course, she actually went through with the wedding or whatever. We don't, like Ilhan Omar did with her brother. We don't know that. But these people are just on the take. They're just on the take. It's like 10% for the big guy. It's all about stealing. And there's nobody left to steal from except the people who actually pay their taxes. So I don't think that works for her in the way that the lawfare against Trump worked for him. So I would be surprised, but you never know. She might become it. The Democrats basically figured that they can drag anybody across the finishing line. And why wouldn't you if you managed to do it with Joe Biden, who wasn't even breathing at the time you did it? So if you can do it with Joe Biden, they figured, hey, we did it with Joe Biden, so why can't we do it with Kamala Harris? Well, that didn't work, and I can't see it working with Letitia James is a crook. And as I said earlier today, the Trump case isn't even in the worst case, Peter Brimelow spent a quarter of a century building up a great organization, VDare.com, that is opposed to death by immigration, which is what the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Western Europe are all engaging in at the moment. Death by unskilled mass migration. And Peter Brimelow built up a great organization for addressing that over a quarter of a century. And the disgusting thing is here, Letitia James destroyed 25 years of work simply by a so-called investigation in which obligated him to spend millions of dollars responding to. And the dirty, stinking, rotten, corrupt judges of that dirty, stinking, rotten, corrupt empire state went along with it by refusing just to say, well, at a certain point, Ms. James, don't you have to put up or shut up? You've been investigating VDare.com for years, and you've yet to charge anything. And exactly as she did with Trump, you know, basically the judge gave them a Denny's all-you-can-eat buffet thing, buffet of things you could charge Trump with. It's the opposite here, though. It's actually the opposite. Letitia James gone for the, we don't need to say what we're thinking of. We don't need to charge you. We don't need to say what we're thinking of charging you with. We can just, I said 15 years ago when I ran afoul of the Canadian Human Rights Commissions that the process is the punishment. And this is like a parody example of that, because there's not even the hint of any possible charge. They're just being investigated to death. I think this woman is evil, and I would like it if she went to jail. I mean, these aren't even difficult things. You can't explain what Trump's guilty of, but everybody knows that if you doctor an application to the bank by claiming that your father is your husband, if you say, while you're doing a job that obliges you to live in the state of New York full time, that you're going to be a permanent resident of Virginia within 60 days, and then you're not. This stuff, you know, this is what the Democrats, it's everybody's on the take. It's so filthy and corrupt. I said a few shows back that it once used to be understood, in Europe, for example, it was generally understood that Southern Europe had corrupt, Mediterranean Europe had corrupt government. And then when you got up north to Scandinavia, you had super clean government. Well, you know, what's going on here, because the money involved is so much greater, is far more corrupt than anything imaginable in Mediterranean. You can set up an organization on a Tuesday, and then you go to open a bank for your, you can set up a charity, as other countries call it, a registered charity, a 501c3, as they call it here. It's great, isn't it? All these numbers, because that way the explicit purpose gets veiled. But you can set up a 501c3, what other countries would call a charity, on a Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, you can go along and open a bank account for your 501c3. And you can put $100 in your bank account just to keep it afloat on the Wednesday. And then on the Thursday, Joe Biden wires you $2 billion into your $100 business. It's sick. It's sick. The whole town, actually, the Iranians can't nuke Washington, D.C. quickly enough. David says, hey, Mark, I hope your cruise was boffo. It would be sweet if Tish James was charged and convicted of actual fraud as opposed to the fairy tale fraud she charged Trump with. That's true. But as I said, you know, claiming your father is your husband, all this stuff is pretty obvious. But Ill Omar. Please don't have the autocorrect on when you write your questions. But Ilhan Omar should be charged with falsely representing herself on immigration documents, stripped of her citizenship and deported back to Somalia. If she wants to hate on the United States, let her do it from the bleep hole she came from. They'll let her speak. Your take? Oh, look, my take, I've said this for years. I think when you're admitted to a country on any kind of immigration visa, but let's say a green card in the American term, you're a guest, and the government has the right to kick you out if they don't want you to be a guest anymore. I've always said that. I remember being on C-SPAN. That's 20 years ago, round about the time America Alone came out. And somebody called up on the lefty line, the lefty phone line, and said, well, I just think you shouldn't be saying these things and you should be deported from my country. And I said, go ahead, lady, make my day. You can't get... I think you're right. If people don't want me to be here, I'm happy to go. But you can't get anyone to deport me. But I tell you this, you can for certain things. If I had committed the fraud that Ilhan Omar engaged in, to commit immigration fraud, she married her brother. If I had committed immigration fraud by marrying my sister, I would have been deported years ago. So again, it comes back to this thing. There's no equality before the law. She can't be deported because she belongs to one of the Democrats' favored group, crazy, sicko, anti-American Muslimas. But the fact is she did commit immigration fraud and she shouldn't be here. And instead, anybody who says, I read the most incredible story in the newspaper about how the way to fast track your entry into the United States is to marry your sibling. Well, I feel a bit, and I don't have a sister, unfortunately. And if I were to marry another man, well, it's America. Maybe that would fast track me even faster. Actually at VDA, I can't remember who came up with it at VDA, but they call it anarcho-tyranny. The less laws that apply to Ilhan Omar or to Letitia James, the more laws they apply to you. And I used to use this anarcho-tyranny line from VDA, mainly because it's absurd to have open borders when you're allegedly on code red post 9/11, but anyone can just walk across the Rio Grande. Meanwhile, if you're a New Hampshire bagpiper, a 14-year-old New Hampshire bagpiper, or you're like my kids and you like to have a Kinder Egg every Easter, your bagpipes or your Kinder Eggs will be confiscated when you return to the United States. In fact, with the bagpipes, you have to make an appointment, and you can't, they only do, like, Tuesdays, they do the Plattsburgh crossing or whatever it is. So if you don't do that, they take your bagpipe, and they take your my kids' Kinder Eggs. But on the other hand, if you're Ilhan Omar, you can marry your brother, and nobody does anything about it. She shouldn't be in the country. I got a warning that, because you know, if you get a green card, you're supposed to have your green card on you at all times. If you're walking in the middle of the woods 4 miles from a dirt road or whatever, you're supposed to have your green card in your pocket. Well, I didn't let my kids do that. Otherwise, I'd be needing replacement green cards every 7 weeks or something. So one time, a vicious twerp of a border guard said, well, you know, that's against the law, and I could send a team right now to your house, because he'd seen that I had my daughter's green card in my wallet. And I could send a team to your house right now and deport your daughter, right? So wanker McArspants with the United States Border Wankers Patrol, he's willing to deport my daughter because she doesn't take her green card to school every day, but he's not willing to deport Ilhan Omar. And that is the anarcho-tyranny, the two-tier justice, the lack of equality before the law, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to call it. There's going to be a lot more of that in your future. Okay, I will... I'm out of shape because I was on the cruise last week, so I haven't done the show for a couple of weeks. But and so I'm hopelessly late with the favourite part of the show. Actually, somebody told me it was the least favourite part of the show, because at this point in the show, we used to actually play music. And then I got all, you know, the Butch Boys saying, no, no, you're supposed to be talking about who's 2 points up in Iowa. So we dropped the music. And somebody was saying, I couldn't stand it when you'd get so passive-aggressive. You'd get all passive-aggressive about not playing the music because the Butch Boys think it's more important who's 2 points up in Iowa. But then you got even more annoying when you introduced this spot where Mark Stein drops by to tell you what's coming up on the real show that plays all the music now. Well, I'm going to do it again. No matter how unpopular it is. Here is the favourite part of the show for many people, because the actual Mark Stein has swung by to tell you all about our weekend music show. Hey, this is Mark Stein on the town this week. Songs across a century, songs around the world, including a Scandinavian and an Australian Easter parade. Plus a cavalcade of number ones down the decades, and Sinatra sings Shakespeare. On the town, Saturday at 5 on 7-8 Radio. And 5 p.m. London time is, of course, 6 p.m. in Western Europe, or 12 midday North American Eastern. Mark Stein, live around the planet. I'm hopelessly late. It's 7 to 4 North American Eastern time. That is 7 to 9 British summertime. A little behind, a lot ahead, according to where you chance to be on this turbulent earth. Let us get back to your questions while I'm still breathing. Robert writes from Ottawa. By declaring herself a resident of Virginia while serving as New York Attorney General, Letitia James may have actually invalidated the cases she brought against the Donald and Vida. Well, that's very interesting, because it is a requirement of New York law that the Attorney General is supposed to be a full-time resident of the state. Now, as you point out, Ms. James declared that she was, in fact, a full-time resident of Virginia. That certainly makes her ineligible to serve as Attorney General. Whether it also invalidates the entire state of New York's prosecutions and investigations of Trump and Vidare, I don't know. That's a subtle argument, and subtle arguments are where U.S. justice goes to die in general. I would think it worth, you know, Vidare, it's just, I mean, I feel so sorry for Peter Brimelow. I haven't seen in almost 30 years, but I feel so sorry for him. You know, they've exhausted all their money now, so they can't actually, they're broke. They can't actually, just being, having this bollocks sitting out there. I know this from cases that are now approaching you know, I'm going to be 23 years. My lawyers have said that it's going to be seven. Michael Manner's appeal, that's going to be 7 years. After the DC Court of Appeals gets round to ruling on that, then we're going to have to go to the US Supreme Court, which will be 3 years. So the case will have gone on for 23 years. You know, I could kill someone in Canada and in a lot of other Western countries and be out in seven. But a blog post, that's 23 years. And it's, and whatever you've got, it'll take it all. So I don't know that, but I would certainly think Robert's point is worth making, that at the time she conducted the prosecution of Donald Trump and the investigation into VDARE, she was ineligible to be doing that. I would certainly think that's worth trying in both cases. Although I have no idea, as I said, when it's these subtle legal questions, although that doesn't seem that subtle. If she can't be both a permanent resident of Virginia and a permanent resident of New York. So either, but that should be enough. The fact that she benefited from declaring that she was going to be a permanent resident of Virginia in 60 days' time meant that on that day she should be ineligible to be Attorney General of New York. So it's worth trying. Chris Davis, speaking of one of the pleasanter aspects of litigation, Chris was the delightful chap who threw a lovely party at his club for me after my appearance in the Ofcom case at the discreditable English High Court that has apparently joined the British Home Office and His Majesty's prisons in its determination to kill Tommy Robinson. Mark, says Chris, welcome back to the hot seat, and I hope you enjoyed the cruise as much as your esteemed guests did. What do you make of Ben Habib taking over the fledgling Integrity Party? The right of UK politics is already somewhat crowded with smaller parties, as you'll no doubt be aware. And no, I don't include the Tories or Reform. Is 4 years enough time for a start-up to get meaningful traction under the first-past-the-post system? Well, you never know. We have the example of Nigel Farage himself, who founded the Brexit Party after the Tories had betrayed Brexit. But he founded it a month before the European elections, and at those European elections drove the Tories to their worst defeat in however many hundred years you want to go back. So it is doable. It is doable. I mean, to be honest, I like Ben Habib enormously, and he's a great loss to Farage's party because he was the conscience of Reform. He understood that Brexit had been bollocksed, and that the Northern Ireland, but Boris Johnson doesn't care about anybody but himself. He's all about Boris. So he threw Northern Ireland overboard in order to drive through Brexit and allow for the normal resumption of politics. And for a while he was able to pass that off. But in fact, the so-called Northern Ireland Protocol, which was made worse then by the Windsor Framework, because essentially at that point, England, Scotland and Wales were shoehorned into the Northern Ireland Protocol too. But it's actually confirmed what hardcore unionists said at the time of the Northern Ireland Agreement in the 90s, this was the end of British sovereignty. It's the end of British sovereignty, not just in Ireland, but in England, Scotland and Wales too. So as corrupted as the European Union's relationship with national sovereignty is, Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage have managed to leave it in a worse state, because basically the European Union is still making the rules for the so-called United Kingdom. But just as I said in my, if I do say so myself, very perceptive book, The Prisoner of Windsor, it has reduced Britain to the condition of a princely state in the Indian Raj. For those of you who have a hazy grip on history before the death of Elvis or Kurt Cobain, in the Asian subcontinent, there was India, which is now India and Pakistan, which was part of His Majesty's dominions, as we said back then. So that was, India was British sovereign territory. But there were also all these little princely states with their sultans and maharajas that were nominally independent, but where, in effect, the British resident called the shots for anything that matters. So they weren't really. You could still have the Maharaja, and he dressed up, and the King Emperor would give the guy a knighthood once in a while. But he had the effect of a sovereign state, but he was not in reality. And that's exactly the position the United Kingdom is in. I don't know whether... So Ben Habib was the conscience of Britain, of Brexit, and the conscience of reform. And he's a great loss to Nigel Farage. But he couldn't stick it any longer. Nigel, you know... To put it bluntly, Nigel can't abide people that he sees as a threat to his power. He can't abide women, so he's just crap with women. That's why there's no women. That's why it's a boys' club, and the boys all dote on Nigel, so which makes his worst pathologies even worse. He doesn't have any friends, no one who, you know, when you look at what he did to previous people he's worked with, they all fall by the wayside and he cruises on. Maybe he'll cruise on this time. But even if he were to become Prime Minister next week, I don't think he's going. We need people. It's the end. We've come to the end. They're going to kill Tommy Robinson in prison. If he had been, he's in prison on a civil contempt charge, right? Because if he were in on a criminal contempt charge, he'd be out by now. This is cruel and unusual. If you like the European Convention on Human Rights, this is cruel and unusual punishment. Solitary confinement. As the months and months and months roll by, he will come out of there a ruin. You'd have to have enormous restraint, enormous inner strength to be able to survive that. Anyone who goes along with it, I don't care whether you like. By the way, Letitia James is being set up for the same thing that Tommy Robinson originally went to jail for, mortgage fraud. You think Letitia James is going to wind up in solitary confinement? Tommy Robinson, his original jail thing was for some kind of mortgage fraud. People shouldn't be going along with trying to kill him. You know, when people say, oh, well, you should just go a bit quiet about this because the local elections are coming up. Well, I'll go quiet about some things. Peripheral things, you know, that don't have any urgency about them. But a man that the British state, we have political prisoners. Same thing in Canada, in Ottawa, with the Canadian truckers, right? Where the court is apparently going to seize the organizers. The two organizers are going to go to jail. The court is going to seize his big red truck. He loves that truck. As he puts it on his Twitter, he raised his kids in that truck. His beloved dog, when he was dying, spent his final hours on this earth on the seat of that truck because it was his favorite place to be, next to his master on the bench seat of that truck. And the Canadian justice system is proposing to confiscate that truck for no valid judicial reason. We are at the point where I don't think this is going to be solved by voting. I don't know that it can be solved by burning the courthouse down, but burning the courthouse down isn't a bad place to start. I'm not allowed to ferment in America, but I think I'm allowed to ferment in Canada as a subject of the king. I'm sick of all this. We're at the end here. The Western world is going out of business, and very quickly. Peter says, greetings, Mark. If the UK is descending into an Islamized version of South Africa, what can the legacy population of normal young people do about their futures? Is it time to pack up and leave, or do they go down with the ship? Well, I'm not interested, really, in giving up on a lot of these places. When I appeared in Denmark, in Copenhagen Parliament, on the 10th anniversary of the Mohammed cartoons, and the State Department in Washington and the Foreign Office in London issued a warning to their citizens and subjects around the world that it was unsafe to be anywhere near my event because presumably some guy would try to blow it up. And so I got these emails from people who said, why are you so into? Who cares about Denmark? Why don't you just let it go and let it collapse into the go down the toilet of history? Because I don't think actually letting people pick off some of the most evolved nations on Earth, even if some of them have evolved past the point they should have stopped at, but I don't think letting Western nations be picked off one by one is going to do anything for the few that are left. I don't think playing a game, that's basically the sort of pseudo-nationalist version of the Churchill line about the crocodile who feeds the appeaser in hopes that he'll be eaten last. I mean, you don't want to be the last man standing as the rest of the world goes to hell. It's not so long that that guy who wrote the stupid end of history thing, when he said that he followed that with every society is all about getting to Denmark, right? And so we went in the space of about 15 years from getting to everyone wanting to get to Denmark to screw Denmark, let's let that go over the cliff. It's not going to work that. So no, I'm not in favor of just giving up. And the question then becomes, if you give up, where do you go? Now, in Britain, unless people get serious, Britain is going to become a... People think it's about, oh, the magic number of 51% Muslim. Oh, well, it's not going to be 51% until the end of the century. No, long before that. If you think key demographics will be dominated by Islam, for example, the young population. And okay, who's the young population? Well, who are your pop stars? Who are your footballers? Who are your policemen and soldiers? You're going to be feeling all that very dramatically in... I mean, you see it on the BBC now, you know, all kinds of... which would have been seemed extraordinary. Even in the 1990s, the number of Muslim presenters, the so-called, what used to be an explicitly Christian show on Sunday morning on BBC Radio 2, Good Morning Sunday, it was all about, you know, to get you going in the morning so you wouldn't be late for church. That's now co-hosted by a guy called Mohammed. You know, so things are changing very fast. So... someone at some point, just to live with yourself, you should try and resist that. because we're running out of countries. You know, people say, oh, well, we'll go to New Zealand. New Zealand's going to have the pick of the planet. You know, so it's likely to give priority to George Clooney or Katy Perry before it wants to take in riffraff from northern English towns that have now become wholly Islamized. So that isn't a good plan. And in the long term, those countries are only a few years. His Majesty's dominions are only a couple of years after the UK and Western Europe in that. So realistically, the only place to go where the government wants not to accept this is Eastern Europe. And they too will be in a position to pick it. Well, that's if they want to pick and choose anybody. I mean, the thing about Hungary is it likes being full of Hungarians. And actually, I've said this before, that that's what I liked about my visit to Ukraine. I didn't meet anybody other than Ukrainians, apart from a hottie from Moldova, whom I happened to fall into conversation with at the bar one night. Those countries, you know, and also they've seen what these, it's like you think about it in New Hampshire terms, where all these people come to New Hampshire because it was the live free or die state. And they'd got sick of all the crap going on in their own blue states. And then they go there and they start going to town meeting and they start going to the school district. And after a few years, they forget why they left the blue state in the first place. So do you think Hungary wants to import a whole bunch of people who couldn't be roused to save their own country, and after a couple of years in Budapest, are starting to forget all the rubbish that of Keir Starmer and Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak and the rest of the gang. That is, you should try and everybody. I mean, Canada. This business with Natasha in Montreal. Beaten up by the dirty, rotten, stinking, corrupt Montreal coppers because she was at a Hamas demonstration, and officialdom in Canada is on the side of Hamas. I think about this a lot of the time. The Canada that I loved is dead. There's hardly, you know, there's nothing of it left. There's nothing of it left. The England I loved is dead. There's nothing of it left. I'm in France right now. Unless you're in communities with fewer than 2,000 people, the France I loved is dead. But you have to, you can't, nothing, least of all the American Revolution, I've spoken about this before, the majority of the population of New York were loyalists. They didn't want to fight the revolution. But the people who did want to fight the revolution were smaller in number, but considerably more motivated. And that's what we need, a bit of motivation. It's not a numbers game. Every bloody story in the Western canon, just about is the story of a guy overcoming the odds. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about High Noon, walking the only guy left. Everybody else has fled, and you're walking alone down Main Street. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Or the last 20 minutes of any James Bond film, where he's running around the hollowed out volcano, gunning down thousands of cat suited extras. Until he can get to the button that turns the big laser beam off. You know, and we all go to see these. Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I'd be that guy fighting against the odds. Well, let's live it. Spend less time at your crappy multiplex and let's try living it. I'm getting angry. I shouldn't be doing the show late at night, which it is here, because I'm a bit crankier. But that's going to do it for today. Stick with Stein Online for our regular Thursday date with Laura's Links. Laura Rosen-Cohen. I mean what I say, by the way, not to interrupt my plug for Laura's Links, but I mentioned the other day how well the IRA had done by just being hardcore. Gerry Adams, the leader of Sinn Féin for many years, is going to get compensated. You know, the Irish Republicanism killed all these people. But the two-tier care is going to end up compensating Gerry Adams, because Gerry Adams is hardcore. If I came back to life, I wouldn't try persuading anyone. I would just found a paramilitary organization. That's my closing thought. I know that's a bit... but at the very least, think of what I said. It's not about the numbers, unless you're a big passive princess pussy pants. The fact is, Islam in its relations in the public square, like Irish republicanism, the two have been connected in a way for half a century, because with the exception of Boston bars, they got most of the IRA got most of their weaponry from places like Libya. We are coming. Do you just want to go quietly into that long Arabian night? Or do you want to at least take a chance at saving your country? That's the choice. It's time to pick a side. And just like it was in pre-revolutionary New York State. Anyway, that'll do it for today. If you're still toying with the pros and cons of joining the Mark Stein Club, do come on in, because as we learned on the Iberian Peninsula, the water's fine. Stay safe, stay free.
Mark Stein's Clubland Q&A is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and Oak Hill Media. Rights reserved.